What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Good Anime Palette Podcast. This is episode number 61, the first episode of season 6 of the GAP Podcast. Summer months, summer years, it's been a long journey. But hey, this train is going to keep on trucking, and we are going to keep giving you the best and the brightest, just like the summer sun, of anime and manga. I am your co-host, Jason. I am joined, as always, as usual, by maybe jet lag Will over here. Will?
No, maybe it's like one hour. Definitely not jet lagged.
Like one hour?
The flight's only like 3 hours, and it's a 1 hour time difference. There's no way I'm jet lagged.
That you know of?
No, I'm definitely not.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going to go with this.
I have no idea. I was just...
Just waffling now?
I am waffling now.
Well, speaking of which, you know when you were saying that it's summer around the corner? Well, it's already here because if you go on MAL, whenever you click the seasonal tab, it goes straight to summer seasonals instead of spring. So we are truly entering the summer now.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. And there has been a lot of shifts in the seasonal for spring 2023 in terms of MAL score. It's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah. For our seasonal bet, we're not going to be releasing results until the next episode, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's still some time. Let's just say that a lot of scores have been dropping. Some scores have been skyrocketing. Unfortunately, the one that has literally like ascended the charts, neither of us picked. But we'll go over those in more detail in the next recording.
But our difference, score difference, Will, is actually way smaller than it was several days ago. So that's kind of cool.
What is it now?
0.05.
Wow, that's the smallest it's been. Because it was 0.06, and then like a couple days ago you mentioned it was 0.08.
Yep.
And now it's getting closer and closer and closer. So this is literally crunch time. We have 2 weeks to really see who wins out and whether or not this time the crown switches hands and I can finally get the champagne off ice.
Yeah, so I have to probably not put the champagne in storage, but probably put it in wait.
Yeah, this is the closest I've ever been. But I'm always, you know, prepare for the worst. I know like how it's been for the last five seasonal bets, like or four. I think we didn't do one the season before. We didn't do one for winter, I think. So yeah, I am fully prepared for things to go completely upside down and we'll see where it goes.
Well, you know what they say, right? Hope for the best, expect the worst. Life is a play. We're all unrehearsed, right?
Lyrical.
Lyrical genius.
We're going to prepare, though, for the upcoming episode by actually just foregoing news, just because a lot of it's really not that interesting. And also, I'm sure that everybody's already seen the trailer for the One Piece live animation, the live action adaptation. Sucks. Shoulder shrug. Moving on. We actually had a couple of things that we've done behind the scenes because of an upcoming sort of change to our recording schedule. Just as I've come back from Japan less than 24 hours ago, in a couple of weeks, I will be traveling again. So that means there will be a couple of things that will be recorded ahead of time. So we had to do a couple of things, you know, logistically in the background just to make sure that we're able to release our upcoming episodes in the correct scheduled order and nothing really changes in the next couple of weeks. So one thing that we did behind the scenes was actually go ahead and pick out our closet cleanups for the upcoming episode on episode 63. Jason, you want to announce what we've got slated for that one?
Yeah, sure. So we did it offline, although Will and I did it on Discord Live. So, you know, not that I don't believe Will, but it's just we just did it offline.
That and also I also turned on my camera to make sure you saw what was going on.
Yeah, so I have like no room to kind of give Will shit. So cleanup stuff. I'm just going to give you the full list for my cleanup and Will's cleanup and then tell you our picks in the end. So from my cleanup list that we will be using, Will's plan to watch list for me is Perfect Blue, Dimension W, Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, Stars Align, and Wataten. An Angel Flew Down to Me. And then from my plan to watch list is Batum, A Centaur's Life, Bastard with 2 exclamation marks, Dance Dance Dancer, and Paprika. For Will's cleanup list, it is Akame ga Kill, Akira, Mr. Osomatsu, and Sarazan Mai, and then Shoujo Kageki Revue Starlight. From my plan to watch list, it is A Lull in the Sea, Given, Just Because, with one exclamation mark, The Perfect Insider, and Wave, Listen to Me. So, originally, far back, I cashed in my first seasonal bet win to kind of give four picks of the eight, two for mine and two for Will. For me, it was Toilet Bound Hanako-kun from Will's Plan to Watch, and Dance Dance Dancer from my plan to watch. For Will, it was Revue Starlight, because I just have to, and The Perfect Insider. Now, retroactively, we decided to eliminate The Perfect Insider, mainly due to a five-cur rule that we set ourselves. So, in response, Will, what were the four animes that are now new to our cleanup lineup?
Well, the four that have been picked all together so far. So just from your side, the ones that you'd be watching and hopefully reviewing in full would be Toilet Bound, Hanako-kun, Stars Align, Dance Dance Dancer, and Patoom. As for myself, it would be Shoujo Kageki, Revue Starlight, Akameka Kill, and A Lull in the Sea. So those would be the seven series. Three for me, four for Jason. I believe for you, you still have four curs of anime. As for me, I have five curs of anime, hence why we had to remove The Perfect Insider from my section.
Right. So that is it for our cleanup. If you guys want to watch those shows in prep for our episode number 63, by all means do so. And we will give you our review and our take on those shows. The next thing that we are trying to solidify now, though, despite it is not the cutoff mark for the seasonal bet, it is the picks, though, for summer 2023.
Yeah, we're going to get ready to lock down our seasonal bets for the upcoming season. Even though we aren't fully ready to, you know, seal the deal with spring 2023, it is going to be done in 2 weeks, so better just get these picks out the way so that we can, you know, announce the winner, you know, condolences for the loser, and then move straight into the summer 2023 seasonal bets. So the format, as always, is going to be similar to the previous ones, in which we do a snake draft. We select, you know, two out of four pre-selected series that will be part of our mix of picks, and then there'll be eight more to pick from for each side amongst the rest of the summer. Now, again, we're only going to be picking from TV new, so that doesn't include TV continuing, OVAs, ONAs, films, whatever else. So it has to be stuff that's airing within the summer season of 2023.
And in the last, or I guess for spring 2023, we determined the four shows through 100K members or above on my anime list. Sadly, this time around, there isn't enough to fulfill that requirement. However, we decided to do the very normal thing next, which is the hype sequels.
Which ones are the most popular? So the four that are at the top would be Jujutsu Kaisen second season, Mushoku Tensei season two, as well as Bleach, whatever the hell season it is now, and the fifth season of Bungo Stray Dogs. Why we picked those? Well, we made the rules. And also because of the fact that they are literally the most hyped sequels are coming into the summer season.
I'm 100% sure they're all eights or above. Like, just without even knowing. Like, it just has to be, right?
I mean, this is just sort of like, you know, spitballing here. But do you foresee any of them being over a nine? Like, Bleach definitely, like, shot above the curve and was, like, super strong the previous season. But would they be able to maintain that momentum and actually, you know, keep a score of nine and above, or this is going to be, you know, a bit more of a lull, but still, you know, a very high performing eight.
Are you asking me? You can ask me after we do our picks. How about that?
Just throwing out some stuff for conversation, dude.
Okay. Well, okay. I think Bleach has... What was Bleach, the first season of Thousand Year Blood War? Was it
nine?
Still a nine? Still?
It was like a 9.05 when we recorded the retrospective on 2022. So that was like seven, eight episodes ago. I forgot which one it was, but I don't know. I think it's still above a nine.
Yeah, I'm trying to Google it right now. Yeah, that one is I mean, they're all solid picks. I think JJK would be pretty cool too.
9.07.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, That's crazy, dude.
Okay, so I forgot who picked first last time.
You chose who picked first, and you chose me to pick first.
Right. So how should we go about it this time round?
Flip a coin or do something? I don't know. Or you decide. Or I decide. I don't know.
How about this? You go first again this time.
Sure. So
since it's quite clear that it's not clear.
No, it's not.
You're in a position of winning. That's the main thing, right? So even if it could flip, you're still winning at this stage.
Right. So in other words, two from the four that we mentioned of the hype sequels and eight from the rest, right?
Yep. You pick one first and then I pick two and so on until we have a total of 10 picks.
All right. Bleach season 2. Of Thousand Year Blood War.
You're locking that in already?
Yep.
Cool. Then I don't have to pick anything else then. Let's see. I will go with Zom 100 and the Duke of Death and His Maid.
Oh, yeah. Good. So Duke Season 2, Zom 100. I have Bleach. I'm just going to write this down on our docket as we go. All right. I will go the girl I like forgot her glasses and Helk.
I'll go with Hormia Peace. Along with, what's this one? Do I want this one? Maybe I want this one. You know what? I will go with this one, just because. Why not? It's a fantasy school. Reign of the Seven Spellblades.
Okay. All right. Let's see what I got here. I will go with Dark Gathering, and My Happy Marriage.
Wow, it's really up to me to pick it then, huh? Okay. I will take Sugar Apple Fairy Tale Part 2 and the revamped, updated version of Rurouni Kenshin.
Okay. So Kenshin 2023, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 3, 4, 5, okay. I've like one. Yes. Oh God, it's contentious, dude. JJK season 2. So then that locks in your other two, so you don't have to spend it. And then I will do Saint Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence.
Damn it. That was all I wanted to go. Okay, then I will take. Why not? This will be fun. And Undead Girl Murder Farce. And I'm going to try and go a little left field and hope that it's going to do well. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Part-timer season 2.
All right. Part-timer season 2.
Which means the other ones I have are Bungo, Stray Dogs, and Mushoku Tensei. Very nice. I'm very happy with those, actually.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I only have one more. Got it. You're doing that? Okay.
Vending machine. Why not?
I thought about that.
Atelier or whatever that one is. The game one.
I thought about that too.
But I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to sway your decisions here.
The Dreaming Boy's a Realist or Mononogatari Season 2.
Oh, dude, Season 1 was awful.
Okay, I'm going to do a left field pick. My Masterful Cat is Depressed Again Today.
That one. Interesting. Okay, I did not expect any of us to pick that one. All right, cool. We have our picks selected then.
Okay, so all in all, in no particular order, my seasonal picks, total of 10, is Bleach Season 2. In other words, Thousand Year Blood War Season 2. JJK Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses. Helk, Dark Gathering. My Happy Marriage, Saint Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence. The Masterful Cat is Depressed Again Today. Is that all of it? Or do I still pick? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, I keep picking?
Oh, yeah. You actually are supposed to pick a few more.
Okay. Damn. Okay. Hold on. Hold the phone, guys. My bad. I will pick The Great Cleric and Reborn as a Vending Machine then.
I got to say, looking at yours, this is one now where I'm a little bit more confident because you have a lot of left field picks for your one, especially when it comes to Masterful Cat and Dark Gathering. But at the same time, I also think that perhaps my picks for maybe Seven Spellblades, Undead Girl, Murder Farce, those would be interesting. So from Jason's side, his picks going into the summer seasonal bet for 2023 are Bleach Season 2, Thousand Year Blood War, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses, Helk, Dark Gathering, My Happy Marriage, Saint Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence, The Masterful Cat is Depressed Again Today, The Great Cleric and Vending Machine Isekai. As for myself on my side, Jobless Reincarnation Season 2, Bungo Stray Dog Season 5, Undead Girl Murder Farce, Reign of the Seven Spellblades, The Duke of Death and His Maid, Season 2, Zom 100, Horimiya Peace, Sugar Apple Fairy Tale, Season 2, or is it Part 2? Season 2 or Part 2?
It's Part 2, yeah, Season yeah, part 1, two. Part 2.
Rurouni Kenshin, the revamped 2023 edition, as well as The Devil's a Part-Timer, Season 2.
I mean, I do think this time around, there's a lot of... It's a lot more contentious, just purely looking at the choices. So I think you have an awesome chance. I mean, look, Horimiya Peace.
I'm surprised you went straight in and picked what you think is the overall number one pick. It's actually going to be interesting to see if Bleach actually holds on to being a 9 and above, or if it still rates as a high 8. I have a feeling that can it still be a 9? I don't know.
Originally, I thought the two J's. I was going to do Jobless and JJK.
Which I think would have been like very safe.
Yeah.
I think both of them would be high 8s no matter what.
But I can't ignore Bleach. Let's see how it goes, right?
It's very rare for you to take a risk. You usually go for the safe stuff. But this time around, I think, you know, this is it. You're really using your number one pick to go for what you believe is the number one pick.
Yeah. I mean, Ancient Magus' Bride Season 2 last time screwed me over a bit.
Yeah.
It dropped like 0.4.
Let's see how it goes. So in the upcoming episode, which will be episode 62, spoiler alert, we will be going over previews, maybe some slight reviews, as well as a little bit of forecasting on the upcoming season, summer 2023, along with announcing the official winner from the spring 2023 seasonal bet. And then after, you know, whoever wins, you know, drinks their champagne, whoever loses, wipes through their tears, we then start duking it out for the summer 2023 seasonal bet.
So, what are we going to do now, Will? We're just going to chill, or what?
Well, I guess we could just go straight into what we wanted to talk about today.
No break music? What, guys? Season 6?
It's only been 18 minutes, man.
It's off the rails, guys. What's going on?
Man, I didn't think that when I said we were, you know, free balled, you actually would be freaking out this much.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, okay. Straight face. Serious face, Jason, now. So, as always, whenever we wanted to, you know, kick things off with a brand new season, brand new GAP, we decided what we were going to do is talk about some of the most debated, the most up-to-date, the most cultured of discussions. And I think that this time around, I think it's good that, we've had 5 full seasons entering our 6th season. It's about time we started talking about some of the more degenerate, the more etchy, the more cultured, the more tasteful side of anime and manga. So why not use this time now to talk about degeneracy and culture in anime and manga?
So again, guys, of course, it has come. This time has arrived where Will and I, instead of looking up above into the heavens and the skies, decided to look not only inwards but downwards to the depths of hell and depravity.
Looking downwards at our penises, basically.
Exactly. So degenerate and cultured aspects of anime and manga. I think it is less of this topic is more of a trend, more of a like a meme and a more of like an aspect rather than something that, well, we have to recommend something or talk about certain shows.
Yeah, this isn't exactly like a full breakdown as to what makes an anime or a manga degenerate, what makes something cultured, or what the definition of culture and degeneracy is. Simply because, you know, when you ask, like, for example, if I was to ask you your idea of what a degenerate anime is, you might have something that's completely different from what I expect in terms of what a degenerate manga or anime would be. I think that it's for some people, it could just be like just straight trash. Degenerate anime is trash. Or degenerate anime is horny, edgy stuff. Or degenerate anime is really bloody, gory, edgy stuff.
Yeah, so when I had to figure out kind of a direction, at least in my mind, of how this direction of this episode would go, I was just like,
We'll just have like an open forum, just talk about like where we all started in terms of encountering degenerate or quote unquote degenerate anime and manga. Where has that journey led us to? And I guess sort of where we see current trends going with how anime and manga are portrayed now. Because I think if you were to talk about degeneracy and culture 20, even 30 years ago compared to now, the landscape is vastly different. Whether or not it is more openly accepted, I think that it comes from a different perspective. It comes with a different level.
Evolved.
It's also a different context as well.
Right.
Right. So I think when you think about like the early days of degeneracy in culture, and we're not even talking about like just straight up like porn and hentai and whatever. It's like,
okay. Well, so let me ask you, is porn H stuff off the table in terms of this discussion?
Oh, well, it's not fair to throw in like hentai and porn into this.
Because I think, yeah, I agree. I think it's off the table because that is just...
That's a whole can of worms that we are not ready to crack open yet.
Plus, it's adult. Like, it's very clear what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
And if you ignore that aspect of it, you can still see a lot of quote-unquote degenerate or cultured aspects in plenty of other seasonal animes, broadcast animes, such that the whole porn hentai thing is really like its own thing, really.
Bro, that subgenre in itself is worth a whole new like sub-podcast. Like, yeah. we would actually need to dedicate like After Darks, maybe even more like bits and pieces to break down what the hell to talk about within hentai and porn and just that particular area of adult entertainment in general in animation form.
Yeah, so I had to think about how to navigate this topic, and obviously Jason, being the safe dude, is like, okay, let's check what the dictionary definition is.
Yeah, like, but again, though, it's like...
I do think it's worth mentioning because I think of the Oxford or Merriam-Webster Dictionary of Definitions of Degenerate, I think the thing that is the most poignant is having sunk to a condition lower in which that it is normal or something that is immoral, right? I think that is very much, again, the literal dictionary definition of a degenerate.
Right. But what would be the contemporary definition of what a degenerate is?
So I also was like, okay, obviously the whole quote-unquote how weebs use the word cultured is very much different than the actual definition of cultured, right? But...
Well, I'm asking about degenerate, not cultured.
I know.
Yeah.
But I would say, first of all, it is the whole verb to describe someone as cultured. It is an enlightenment and excellence of taste acquired by intellectual and aesthetic training or an acquaintance or taste in the fine arts and humanities. But the thing is, it is ironic, at least it's polar opposite, right? Because we use it cultured in the...
Well, that's generally like how contemporary memeing is. Whenever you say, oh, something... like if you said something was shit, that meant it was bad. But if you said something is the shit, then it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this anime is so bad. Oh, okay, then I guess it's bad. No, I mean, like, no, it's a bad anime. Like, it's badass. Like, okay, but you just said it was bad. No, but I actually mean it's good.
Yeah.
So, in the end, I think, like, using the Webster-Merriam or Oxford definitions are, like, actual literal definitions of what those words mean. But when you're talking about how it's used in conjunction with how we describe appreciation of anime and manga, those don't apply.
I would say not I say it does apply, but the polar opposite.
So it doesn't apply then. The actual definition doesn't apply. The opposite definition does.
Sure.
That's so you just contradicted yourself there then, right?
No,
like,
but
it's not the original definition does not apply. It's the opposite that applies.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Like.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that when it comes to now talking about degeneracy culture. It's funny that we get to this stage now where we're like saying like, oh, like maybe like 20, 30 years ago, anything that was deemed to be like salacious, like anything that was erotic, anything that was like pushing the edge of what adult entertainment was, it was lewd. It was disgusting. It was not like meant to be for public consumption and whatnot. But now it's just like times have very much changed. It's very much like fine to have stuff that is completely, you know, pushing the edges of what is deemed normal and what is deemed to be on the edge of erotic. I mean, when you were first like getting into anime and manga, well, do you remember what your first exposure to what you would have considered like cultured or degenerate anime was?
Love Hina.
And that was released late 90s,
something
early
like that.
Early 20s,
sure. I don't quite remember, but yeah, I think Love Hina would be the first one where I kind of remember would be like, this is kind of not like Dragon Ball Z or Shonen Jump.
But what did you remember from Love Hina, and why? Like, what would you have described? Why would you have described it as the general? Or there's something else?
I take it back. Gumtin Yat.
Kindaichi.
Yeah,
you would have considered Kindaichi degenerate.
But again, there were glimpses of it.
I guess it depends on like what moments or how specifically your the context behind why you would consider it to be degenerate.
So I guess that is not what I would actually consider Kenaichi like degenerate, but that was the moment where I was like, this is very much where there is like nudity.
Oh,
like
right.
Ecchi content that is just very much removed or not present or played in, you know, kind of a comedic tone in, you know, Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, right? Or you can kind of like, it's kind of weird, but okay. But then this is just very explicit in terms of, not explicit in terms of what they show you, but explicit in terms of, yo, this girl is naked. You clearly can't see anything because of steam or the angle in which it was drawn, but very much like this is like adult shit or leaning towards that, right? But I think also Love Hina, oh, it's just like a group. That's like my first harem manga anime thing that I kind of really latched onto. Of course, there's plenty of other harem animes or mangas that I read previously,
but I think like Love Hina, in terms of at least getting the anime adaptation, it was certainly the most talked about, the most popular one at the time. There was also like Ichigo 100%, which was like, there was a lot of people who compared it. I watched
was
it,
that
I liked
your
it.
Thing
that was my thing, but it was like, if you had to compare like which one's the most classic, for sure Love Hina would be the one that takes like the crown.
And I also think one other thing that Love Hina kind of disproved in my mind throughout reading it was how wholesome it got towards the end. And it got kind of like, I wouldn't say I got teary-eyed or whatever, but I got kind of like, oh wow, like this is actually a pretty decent story.
Yeah. So like, I think in terms of like the degeneracy angle of it, was it just more the fact that like it was generally your kind of like your first, or like one of the very first exposures into like harems for you, that maybe at the time, given the context, you would have considered to be more on the degenerate side? Because I think the more harems you see nowadays, like,
yeah.
Oof.
So,
like, Love Hina looks quite vanilla compared to the stuff you see now.
Very vanilla. So I think also I would like to put out, like, a very other quick disclaimer is we are not necessarily condoning or saying anything that is... I'll explain why I am saying this disclaimer first, which is Love Hina to me was slightly immoral, mainly because it was my first exposure to the whole harem subgenre, right?
How old were you when you actually first watched Love Hina?
I didn't watch it. I read it. I never watched it.
How old were you when you first started reading it
like
then?
A teenager.
Because I remember when I first watched Ichigo 100%, I was 13, 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Statue of Limitations, guys. But hey, look. And we got the manga somehow, the Chinese manga, I got it, so, hey, whatever.
I mean, DVDs for me.
Yeah, so yeah. It's all good, I guess. The thing was that with the whole immoral aspect of being a degenerate, right? I am not necessarily... Look, we live in a world currently where it's not single, like, spouse. You could... As long as, you know, the opposing party or whoever it is all consensual, I don't give a fuck, right? As long as you're not hurting anyone, everyone's consensual is all good. But that was the first exposure I have to having, like, multiple, quote-unquote, like, girlfriends or wives.
Well, like, polyamory?
Yeah, and nothing's wrong with that. Polygamy, polyamory, as long as you that's what you're into, awesome. But, like, previously, that my exposure, it just never, like, came into my, like consciousness. Yeah. That, like, that's possible.
For me, I never really thought of it that way. For me, it was just more like you're watching a character, like, do something that kind of goes against the grain and is not founded on, like, what you would consider to be conventional relationships, you know, where it's, like, you want, like, you know, one-for-one, pure monogamy, and that's basically it, whereas this person is kind of exploring beyond those boundaries and developing relationships with more than just one person, two people, and beyond. I never sort of, like, help myself to a higher standard because I kind of bought into that fantasy where it's like, wow, imagine if I could also be like the main character in a harem where I can sort of, you know, have more than just one existing relationship and I can explore other things. You know, I could be not monogamous, but monogamish. Like that's
like gender fluidity, right? Like it's fluid, it's a spectrum, right?
Yeah, it's yeah, basically like relationship fluidity where it's like, you know, like I'm devoted to this one person, but you know, as long as there's consent on both sides, there may be certain things that either I nor the other person can provide for each other, and therefore we seek external avenues yeah. to be able to meet those demands.
And, yeah, and we're not condoning cheating or anything, but as long as everyone's consensual, who are we to say how others lead their lives or how others should say how we lead our lives, right? As long yeah. as we're not committing any crimes or whatnot. But you have to also understand that this was like
20, 30 years ago, right?
Exactly, where the societal values and changes are a lot more rigid. And
a lot more traditional, for sure, yeah.
Exactly. And then when you factor in Asia, then it gets a lot more rigid as well compared to, let's say, the West. And then when you factor in teenage Jason, who doesn't know a fuck about, like, real life, like, hardships and trials and tribulations, this was, I wouldn't say it was immoral, but it felt very... Like, it was just obviously different, right? Yeah.
But I think that was basically the start of, like... It is the start. It's yeah. the tip of the iceberg because the things that we basically, like, have held... Like, you mentioned the example of it being Asia. And yes, like, on the surface, it makes it seem like, you know, Asian, at least when it comes to marriage and relationship, like, structures, were very traditional, very rigid, one for one. And, you know, there's no things that go beyond, you know, what happens between a man and their wife. Or, you know, a woman and their husband, like, that's it. But in actuality, like, infidelity and divorce in Asian cultures actually happen a lot more often than people think.
Yeah, it probably gets swept under the rug, or no one mentions it, or is kind of just unwritten rule, or, you know, like, it's accepted, but obviously not openly, right? It's just kind of like, oh, everyone knows.
And that's why it's like, you know, when you start seeing stuff like, you know, Love Hina, Ichigo 100%, more and more of these, like, atypical relationship structure kind of anime and manga start coming out, it's more, in a way, it's kind of just, like, commentary. It's like, people, you know, this is stuff that people will frown upon, but this is also stuff that there are people that kind of fantasize, that kind of want.
Yes, and there is an element of, it obviously is not porn or hentai. So I knew that, like, those types of shows, those types of content is quote-unquote like not kosher, as like it was very easy to split it black and white.
Yeah,
right?
Like with Love Hina and with Ichigo 100%, it was always very much like it's kind of like that shipping where yeah. you're always like mm-hmm. thinking about, oh, this person would totally go well with that person. Nah, fuck that, dude. That person doesn't deserve this person. You know, X, Y, Z should be better with 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, one, and all that kind of shit, right? But I think when you actually look into Ichigo 100% and especially like Love Hina, the degeneracy slash culture part of it is actually like the sole focus of like the subgenre itself, which is the harem, right? Yes. Beyond that, there's actually not a whole lot that what at least in your eyes and in my eyes, what you consider to be like degenerate, which you consider to be cultured. Yes. Unlike a lot of the stuff that you see nowadays.
Yes, it's the catalyst. So it's like the, like as far back as I can remember, something very distinct to be like, right, that was very different or more degenerate-ish than what else I was consuming at that time, right? So that is the first thing. The other thing is, obviously, my degeneracy or my culture taste has evolved, has developed way past that, right? And I don't think Love Hina, even back then, was what I would consider degenerate. It was just very different.
Yeah.
It challenges... And okay, it's not like I didn't like have like this existential crisis.
Like you weren't being like, oh, this is so immoral. I don't like, what am I watching? I can't, yeah. I can't subscribe to this.
Yeah. You know? And of course, looking back, right? Just like how you're looking back with Ichigo 100, probably at that time, you didn't pay that much attention in terms of questioning your moral beliefs or how things are or how you want to live your life.
Like, I know it's very different from what you would consider to be like a normative, like standard relationship, but
yeah, but it's no big deal, right?
For me, it's just like I'm watching something that I know is purely a work of fiction, and it's broaching into an area which I believe is definitely like a fantasy, or at least like something that I've thought about in terms of what it would be like to be in that kind of situation, but whether to act it out myself, like there's a fine line there, you know?
Yeah, and I think when there is a lot of H stuff even available at that time, I think what a lot of people tend to do is separate the 18 plus with, you know, the ecchi or the more questionable content, right, that is mainly focused on nudity, because technically violence is also, you could be a degenerate there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to be fair, between nudity and violence, one is more readily accepted, at definitely within the realm of anime and manga, more so than the other, with nudity kind of being the one that is more shunned comparatively to violence. I mean, we look at Shonen Jump, some of the stuff is violent as fuck, with blood and guts sometimes even, but hey, don't show a boob, basically. Yeah. Don't show nipple, actually.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. But I also think, though, nowadays, don't you think, Will, that being quote-unquote cultured, you know, with the whole internet, Reddit, and all these forums with Mal, being cultured or being a degenerate is kind of like this weird badge of honor?
It depends on what on how you subscribe to what you would consider to be cultured, or what you'd be, again, like we're constantly in this rabbit hole of what do you really mean by culture? What do you really mean by degenerate?
So but what do you mean?
But I get your opinion, though, in terms of like, when you say like, yeah, I'm into cultured stuff. Yeah, I'm a degenerate. Yeah, it seems to be like a status.
Yeah, it's like street cred,
it's a social,
right?
Standing of sorts, because you are watching something of that ilk, of that kind of, you know, genre that most people may not pay attention to, or maybe are kind of like shunning, mm-hmm. but because you're such a connoisseur of that particular genre, then
your palate, you know, right? Your sense
you've
of
got
taste.
you've got your monocle ready, you know, mm-hmm. just to pop into your eye and being like, yes, I am definitely a connoisseur
that can see through mosaic censorship, right?
Exactly. Right?
But hey, let me tell you guys something. So let's say, for argument's sake, devil's advocate or whatever, you'll be like, Jason, Will, okay, I know hentai exists. I know ecchi exists in every anime season, but I'm not into that. I don't give a shit about all that. I'm like, cool, that's fine, all good. But did you know, for example, probably one of the most well-known series, anime series, manga series, visual novel series of all time ever has its roots in hentai? And I'm talking about Fate Stay Night.
Yeah.
So it is not necessarily exclusive to, oh, even if I were to, like, you know, turn a blind eye to that whole shebang, you cannot deny that some things can originate from a quote-unquote degenerate origin and then evolve into something that is more widely, you know, accepted or accessible.
I think this is delving into what you would perceive to be the perception of adult entertainment and adult media in Japan versus how it's seen outside. So,
I mean, like, it's really hard to talk about degeneracy and culture and not skirt or kind of like dabble into the topic of ecchi and hentai, right? Yeah. I mean, that the fine line there is, like, just very... I mean, yeah, sure, there's definitions.
Well, okay? If you think about, like, some of the anime that came out in the 80s and 90s, and I'm not talking about, like, publicly syndicated ones, which is, like, you know, when you watch on, like, NHK or, like, JTV or whatever, like, publicly, like, local television channels there were, a lot of them at the time were kind of just direct-to-DVD or direct-to-tape. So, for example, like, Ninja Scrolls, very limited release, but then a lot of stuff started, like... I mean, it was one of the first to be sent over to, like, the U.S., one of the first to be sent over to Europe, particularly in Germany and in England, but it had a lot of... There were a lot of censorship rules in regards to sending them overseas because of the nudity, the sex scenes, and, of course, you know, the gratuitous amount of violence it had, but, you know...
Berserk movies, the old ones, have nudity in them, like very explicit nudity, and they're fucked up. As in, not the nudity, but like what is happening on screen, the violence, the whole, like, just Berserk is a really fucked up story, so of course it's fucked up. Yep. So, like, that was also, like, one of my first exposures to nudity and degeneracy cult, like, these kinds of content integrated.
I mean, Elfin Lied as well.
Right. My God, holy shit. I mean, we watched that first 10 minutes, and immediately we saw decapitated heads, tons, buckets and buckets of blood.
Naked, as well, pink-haired girl going around, like, exploding people and slicing them in half.
And it's just right there, like, in front of us.
But I think, like, it's not so much, like, what the level of acceptance for things were back then. It was just the fact that a lot of this stuff were literally behind paywalls. Right, you had to be able to buy tapes. You had to be able to buy the manga. You had to be able to pay for it to be able to access it. Whereas nowadays, when it comes to looking at anime and manga, yes, you do have subscription services, but a lot of times you also do get these particular series that air on, like, for example, in the U.S., like Toonami, right? Mm-hmm. You also have
like in the early AMs, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Midnight,
like,
hour,
like maybe like from 10 o'clock all the way to like 3 a.m. I don't remember. I haven't watched Toonami in a long, long time, but yeah, like back then. You actually had to pay for that stuff. And then let's not even talk about, like, you know, the whole, like, B2B file sharing shit, you know, with the Kazaa's, LimeWire's and whatnot.
Okay, we don't condone any of that.
But let's not act like it never happened,
yeah,
right?
Let's be honest, right? We've all done that, okay? Napster, even with music, come on. Like, you cannot...
Yeah, Winamax, Morpheus, Kazaa, like, this was shit that ran throughout the 2000s.
If Will and I... were to kind of be on our, like, fake high horse and be like, I never did that. That is fucking bullshit, okay? All right? So...
Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to talk about fan subs, because they're also part of that culture too, right?
Yeah, so, okay? Like, we don't really want to focus on that, but it's undeniable that that element of our lives and that element within the zeitgeist or that culture at that time exists, yeah. Right?
And I think that's essentially, like, how a lot of, like, the West... basically got into anime and manga, not just down to, like, reading and watching Naruto.
Oh, because I thought I downloaded an MP3, but it turned out to be an anime.
Because a lot of the stuff that was shared on these host-to-host, these B2B networks, was the, you know, direct-to-DVD, direct-to-tape rips. You know, like your Ninja Scrolls, like your, you know, early on, like, NGEs, or, like, your Akiras. You even, like, let's talk about it. Like, Bible Black. Bible Black was one of the first that, like, was literally, like, flown around on Kazaa, on Morpheus and whatnot.
What, Shaquille O'Neal? Shit.
No, that was Kazam.
Kazam. Oh, yes. Fuck.
Yes.
Shazam. Is that the cloth? Is that called the Shazam? ShamWow.
ShamWow. Shazam is the app where you play it and then, like, it records the song. It's like, oh, are you listening to this song? That's the app.
Oh, I actually have it on my phone right now. Anyways, so I think the other thing, going off of what you're saying, Will, is that at that time, right, in the early 1980s, 1990s, early 2000s, anime has still, it's so underground that even, you know, Ninja Scrolls, Bible Black is just so unknown. Like, people don't even know, or politicians or adults are just like, what the fuck is this? I don't even know. Oh, they're cartoons. All right.
Like you said, very underground. I mean, like, we're talking about every season now where, like, you'd be shocked if there was anything less than 40 new releases in a season, right? You're seeing anything from, like, 45 to 50, even 60 new TV series per season. Whereas back in, like, the 1990s, there might only be, like, 40 in a whole year, Like, you might have like 8 for one season, 8 for another season, but it was because this is a time when you had things like Initial D running for a long time, One Piece running for a long time, Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin, Dragon Ball running for a very, very long time. Like, in the early 90s, you didn't have that many new TV series.
Yeah, you could. I would argue that though back then, the amount of anime available was very run-of-the-mill vanilla in a sense that you can only choose from so many. So there was never like this weird like left side, like curveball pick, because there's only so much to choose from.
Exactly.
And because there were so many people that would even go after those shows back then.
Like, for example, like, this is not to like deride the fans of these particular series, but Slam Dunk, super, super popular. But it was also super, super popular in that particular time because there really wasn't a whole lot else to choose besides Slam Dunk, just like there wasn't a lot to choose from besides Initial D, Dragon Ball, Yu Yu Hakusho.
And most of these are really good.
Yeah, they're all good, and they definitely like stand the test of time, and that they're still very, very popular right now.
I would say, though, as you said, Will, over the years, right, things have become more sophisticated or more fluid. I also think that ecchi content, hentai content nowadays is so, with lack of a better term, creative.
Yes.
Because let's take probably one of the more modern... Okay, so I have a confession to make, Will. You already know this. Listeners don't. I love Monster Girls a shit ton.
Yep.
I like that subgenre. I think Monster Musume is hella dumb, but hella fun, guilty pleasure. And it is very degenerate slash cultured. Of course, probably the most well-known, if you mix in with like ecchi stuff, would be interspecies reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone in their right minds would think that interspecies reviewer would have existed in the 1990s. Maybe there is, in some fringe concept, some far-off manga.
You would probably, on like
the
like,
8th floor.
You would probably find like an art book that existed back then, but like you said, it'd be covered in cobwebs. No one would have opened it. In fact, it might not have been checked out for like 10, 20 years. It was definitely a sub within a sub within a subculture.
But now, all I got to do is either, if I want the hentai stuff, easily find it, or if I want the ecchi stuff, there's at least one every year. I mean, in our cleanup, A Centaur's Life is about Monster Girls. Maybe there's no ecchi stuff. I'm not sure, actually. But
I think A Centaur's Life is a lot more wholesome. But again, that doesn't mean that the doujins don't come out and be like, I'm going to make this shit now, right?
Yeah, and that's a whole other thing, too, as well. Like, this is such a huge subject, and now has become this massive industry, right? So then, like, how, when you look at Monster Girls or this kind of sub-niche, I don't think it really existed in terms of, even if we exclude the internet to a certain degree, which you can't, it is now more of like a thing, right? Whereas I would say, you know, 20 years ago, it was more vanilla-esque or more run-of-the-mill. Of course, you get your weird occult ones with ecchi incorporated into it. You get your harems with obviously a lot of ecchi, or kendaichi with ecchi elements, right?
When you were talking about like, you know, using the culture or the degenerate tag as like social standing, I think if we had to be very, very objective, at least I'm trying to be, it meant something back in like the 80s and 90s, because you had to find that stuff. You had to find the culture and the degenerate stuff to be like, yeah, you know what? I saw some really weird, gross shit, or I saw some real horn dog harem fucking anime, and I managed to get it here, but I can share it with you and whatnot. Whereas now, it's really not that hard to just go on my anime list and see what tags are out, and then just go ahead and read it. I mean, okay.
I think the badge of honor, or that street cred kind of sensibility, has shifted in that, as you said, back then, you might be that friend, or you have that friend who is in the know with that type of content. That's what he or she, or however they want to identify themselves, that's what they like look for, right? So then whenever you need that kind of stuff of any sort, you go after them. Or not go after them. You kind of like ring them up because, you know, it's like the 1990s, right? Early 2000s. You call them physically and be like,
yeah.
Bro.
You legitimately have to like send a fax machine, like send a fax out, and actually
send
like,
the fax machine.
Yeah, just throw it out the window because you've been like tracking down this.
They're your source, so you need to send them the fax machine so you can send them faxes.
Yeah, or you know pagers, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Like you actually had to track that shit down.
But I think nowadays, as you said, everything is readily available. Just seek a tag, right? But I think there is so much of it.
So that's the difference.
It becomes curation.
That's the difference. Curation. Now, back then it was the fact that you actually went and like sought all of this stuff out. Whereas now it's more just how much you've watched.
Yeah.
It's a volumes game compared to back then when you would legitimately... It was almost like an art form of like almost like deep down hobbyist level of diving into that rabbit hole and finding that obscure hentai or that really, really niche ecchi or something that was so edgy that like legitimate, so edgy that literally only like 100 DVDs were ever sold and like you have to find one out of the 99 that still exists.
I would say back then it is actually a volume game instead. But when you
get,
when you get like the one or the two picks, then automatically your street cred in terms of degeneracy and culture increases. Whereas now it's like, oh, if you like that same thing that I do, but within that you even like the same work.
No, I disagree, man.
Oh, really?
Why would it be a volume game back then when there was not that many?
Right, because the moment you hit one.
That's not volume. That is literally finding like a diamond, a needle in a haystack. Whereas now it's like there's like 50 ecchi tags every season. All you have to do is just go ahead and
pick one.
Doesn't matter. I don't think people say now that like you only know the good ecchis. I think in general you're more all encompassing because
I think that's where we agree to disagree because I think now ecchi content is so readily available. It becomes, well, then are you into this type of ecchi content? Are you into Monster Girls? Are you into harem?
Yeah, but you're arguing a different context where like stuff is readily available, whereas back then literally only one or two came out a year. So I don't think that you'd be able to compare. I think that there was more importance in being able to find good ecchi quality stuff back then because it was so hard to come by. Whereas now it's just trial and error. You just have to go and watch it. That's it. Like again, you say like, oh, how do you go about looking for the only thing you can do is watch it yourself. And the fact that it's so easy for you to go watch it now, it's great. Whereas back then, you actually had to go and scrounge around like a garage sale, or you had to go on like eBay listings, or maybe even actually track it down physically in a different location to be able to get it because some stuff just don't make censorship laws.
Well, I have to import it. I have to go to Japan, import it with a DVD.
If you wanted to watch Ninja Scrolls in Germany, you couldn't because it would not beat the censorship laws. You actually had to go to a different country to buy it where they didn't remove
and then smuggle it back.
Yeah,
sure.
So I think that's where it's like I understand where you're coming from, where it's like there's so many to choose that you have to be very particular in developing your niche. But I feel like the effort that people had to go through back then, and this is not to say that everybody did the effort. I think anybody at that time when it's like when you first discover porn, you're like, oh, I'll just watch all of them, right? I'll just watch whatever I can get. I think it's just that to be able to develop a more niche acquired taste back then was a lot harder than it is now because now it's just time, whereas you have to go through more efforts, more hurdles to be able to build that particular niche for yourself. And it was a much smaller subculture back then too, whereas now it's you can find forums on Reddit and My Anime List and you'd be able to openly share like there are Discord channels for this stuff.
So let me kind of summarize my view. I know we have opposing views, which by the way is fine. Let me just summarize my view using Gundam, for example. Back then, there was only the couple of Gundam series. So if you were into mechas, there's only so many to choose from. So the moment you are into mechas, or you meet someone that's into mechas, there is, by the law of numbers, like the highest proportion of you are probably into the same type of shows. Nowadays, there is so many mecha shows or like hybrid mecha shows such that, or even within Gundam, there's so many Gundam series that has spanned the test of time that you have to suss out within Gundam which Gundam series they like the best. And to me, okay, you pass like the first hoop of you're into Gundam. So, okay, we're like a more like kindred spirits, right? But like the lowest form. Then it becomes, do you like Double O? You don't? You thought it was shit? Okay. If I think like Double O's mid, then that's like the next level. It, oh, you thought Iron Blood Orphans is dope? Fuck yeah, we're kindred spirits. But back then, I would just be like, oh, you're just into Gundam, it's just kindred spirits automatically. That's my view of cultured degeneracy back then versus now.
Yeah, but like you're also comparing something where like Gundam was backed by Bandai Namco and was one of the biggest things to come out from Japan of that era. Whereas, again, we're talking about ecchis that are super like scrubbed and underground. That it's not like you can just go to another person like, hey, do you like ecchi? No? Oh, sorry. Whereas before it was like, you could probably just go across the street and be like, shout Gundam. Gundam? Gundam. Yeah, I like Gundam.
I'm just using that as an example off the top of my head to kind of succinctly summarize how, because I've realized that it might be hard to follow whether it's you or the listener. So I was just trying to use Gundam as an example. It's not the best example or the only example. It's just the one that came into my mind.
It's hard to make that comparison just because Gundam is like back then and now still insanely popular. It's not like a hill that I need to die on. It's just I'm just saying that like it was much harder to come by. Therefore, I'm not even saying that like having that status means something different from the 80s, 90s, and now. I think it's just if you want to consider yourself a cultured degenerate, then fine, go ahead. But I think it's just back then it was much harder to come by and much harder to curate a list of the ecchis, the left field, and the degenerate stuff. Now it's more just, do you have the time to siphon through all that? And you have the time to compare your lists or, you know, discuss with, you know, your fellow kindred spirits and say, you know, I've watched this ecchi and that ecchi, or I've gotten to this degenerate stuff, and didn't you find common ground with the ones that have had access to it? Back then, these were much more tight, close-knitted circles that existed, you know, on the periphery of what was already considered a very niche subgenre, which is like anime and manga within animation and comic books, because very underground back then.
And then within that, it is the ecchi or the H stuff, right?
You know? So it's like layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. Whereas now, I think it's just because, like you said, we've talked about how mainstream anime and manga is now, that you have to start developing niches. Back then, there was no niche. It was just that.
Yeah.
You know? And so, now it's because of the fact that people want to be different. People want to create, not boundaries, but like have like slight gatekeeping between like each specific genre, each specific like series. That's why you would be like, you're not true degenerate or true cultured if you don't like this or you don't like that. I think it's just because
I think nowadays that gatekeeping is way more prevalent,
which I don't like, but I understand too because of how big the anime and manga sphere is now, that naturally people want to have additional layers of segregation within there,
or like classification of sorts, right?
Yeah, which I mean, fine, fair enough. I just think that it gets a little bit nitpicky at that
like,
point.
Yeah, and pedantic and stupid.
But also, like, it serves as a detriment to like the culture. I mean, the whole genre of anime and manga as well. When you have people that are very much like, you know, mouth breathing Neanderthals, we're just like, no, like, this is what it means to be an anime fan. This is what it means to be cultured. And I get that. It's not my position to tell people how to appreciate anime and manga. I think it's like, it gets really annoying when people have to start sort of like putting your foot down and like instill gatekeeping, because it serves no benefit to anyone.
For me personally, gatekeeping is almost always a negative thing. However, the fact that gatekeeping is an issue within anime and manga, if you look at it from a different perspective, the fact that we have to worry about this as a community kind of says how big the community is.
I think,
right?
Yeah, naturally, you like something, you want to be defensive about it. Yeah. I completely get that. It's like there's going to be people that talk shit about
Made in Abyss. Mr. Penkin.
Okay, we're definitely in the minority for that. That right. That's why it's like, you know, I don't think
not
that,
not
I don't think
not for I don't Mr. Penkin
I don't
though.
Think, I don't know. I don't think Made in Abyss is necessarily the right one. But for example, let's say like Shield Hero, because it was so massively popular and now it's getting dunked on by everybody that if you're on my enemy list, you're probably a minority if you are supporting it and wanting to, you know, look forward to season three.
And then that season three poster was such a fucking piece of middle finger to everyone. Yeah. But okay, look. So yeah, I do think that the gatekeeping in a different perspective is actually kind of a not a pause, not the act of gatekeeping.
It's a natural progression for people who started in this subgenre, in this culture, and want to protect it. And want to see it thrive, but at least within the confines of what they deem to be an environment where you have people who appreciate the same thing and not just deride and talk shit about the things you like.
And the fact that we have to even consider gatekeeping as a kind of genuine issue within the anime and manga sphere, to me, is indicating its growth and its, you know, volume of fans, right? So I think that in of itself is positive, not the gatekeeping itself.
Yeah.
But, Will, we have an anime and manga podcast, right? So every season, I'm sure you get that too, a lot of people would ask you, so what are the shows that we should watch, Will? What are the shows that we should watch, Jason?
I usually recommend the ecchis.
So for me, almost always, at some point, I have like 4 or 5 friends who would always say, okay, but which one is the ecchi of the season? And I'm just like,
what's the most degenerate thing you've seen like so thus far?
And to be honest, I don't think someone would really, it's become such a commonplace question for me that I don't really think twice about it. But if you actually think about it, the fact that you and I have to consider which of these ecchi shows is the one to go for is kind of weird and kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's like, do you want ecchi, but it's an isekai? Do you want ecchi, but it's, you know, a cafe harem? Do you want ecchi, but there's a lot of, you know, the R and rhymes with grape, you know? Like,
are they blood related or not? That's a very big difference. Like, you holy know, fuck.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, oh, are you into monster girls? Are you into...
Hell
you
know, yeah, Will.
You know, are you into maybe, like, bro-con, cis-con stuff? Are you into body / gender swapping?
Yeah, like, bro-con, cis-con is such a, like, a meme / cultured phenomenon within anime and manga that anime characters literally use the term and make fun of each other all the time about that.
Yep.
And that it has been such a commonplace people.
The fact that I've seen enough slice of life and there's always a character, it's like, wow, you, like, within the anime, it's like, wow, you like reading this manga? You got a cis-con thing going on? But no, I don't. It's like, wow. It's like an anime within an anime breaking the fourth wall about anime and manga towards people who... We, as like the weirs, would be like, well, yes, we totally get what's going on.
It's like exhibit, right? It's like you have...
I heard you like a car within your car, so I put a car inside your car once you drive your car, and you can play with your car once you drive your car, that kind of shit. Like,
yeah, exactly,
that's
right?
That's basically it, you know? So, like, you get into it, you're like, wow, where the fuck have we gone into now? Where, like, the culture itself has picked up on the culture.
Yeah, and then we have become kind of reverse psychology going around such that... It, you know, going back to the way it started, such that if you get defensive about it and don't just readily be like, yeah, I'm into that, you kind of be like, oh, so you're really into that. You just don't want to admit it. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, guys, like, it's so crazy. But I think one of the things about being cultured is that it should not be in quotations despite us using it. It is just a part of the culture nowadays, period, compared to, let's say, 20, 30 years.
Yeah. I think one thing that was very much like, not so much like what was us sort of having opposing views as to what culture and degeneracy was, it's just the fact that we've been going back and forth in terms of our idea and definitions of what these words mean, and also using completely different context of, like, the fact that I'm talking about stuff that happened in, like, the 80s and 90s, and you're referring back to the stuff that's happening right fucking now. Yeah, being cultured and degenerate throughout, like, the history of anime and manga was very, very... It's a very varied... Your mileage may vary in terms of what you would have considered culture and degeneracy in the 80s, 90s, the 2000s and 10s, and now in the 2020s.
So
how long ago actually did Interspecies Reviewer come out? Was it like 2 years ago?
It's funny because I was just about to check it right now.
It was 2021, I think.
We're talking about the anime, right?
The anime, yeah.
2020.
Oh, so 3 years. And then...
Winter 2020. Passione, bitches. Yeah,
of course it was Passione. What about Monster Musume, then?
Ooh, I think it's rough. I think Monster Musume came before.
Yeah, it was definitely before. Because I think that was... Not necessarily a precursor, but it's like...
2015.
Yeah, so the mid-2010s. Yep.
Lurch.
Lurche? Lurche.
Lurche.
Lurche. We're going to add a little classy twinge
Wait,
to it.
Wait, so yeah. Why do all these... Okay, so Passione, Lurche is all French-sounding, European-sounding, right?
What about Project Number 9? Project Numero 9? We're not trying to make connections between French-sounding names and the level of degeneracy in terms of the stuff they produce. But, yeah. Like... It's usually the same kind of studios that produce the drink with your pinky kind of excellent culture, excellent degeneracy. Like a lot of Project Number 9 stuff we've talked over the last year, and we're just like, was it degenerate? Was it culture or was it just trash?
What? Wait. Okay. Let's be clear. What is
Higehiro?
So. The thing with degeneracy and cultured tastes varies in my... Like, mileage may vary, guys. Duh, yeah. As Will said. But to me, I split the stuff that you are into versus the stuff that you watch versus the stuff that you have left to watch. And let me explain. So the first thing is, if you are into...
Three massive buckets of degeneracy right here.
So there are like very...
inside bucket number one, Jason, go ahead.
So if you enter into BroCon and CisCon, or like... Okay, before, by the way, just because we're talking about anime phenomenons does not mean that I, Will, or whoever is into those things actually either... practice, believes, or does those things in real life. I think
remember
the fact that we're talking about the 2D plane here.
We're talking about works of fiction here.
Exactly.
Right? Let's not get things convoluted.
Exactly. So, going back to my pyramid of... my triangle degeneracy, there is your tastes, right? So then, to me, that nowadays, it's kind of like pick your poison, you're into your thing. I'm into Monster Girls. Other people might judge that, but other people might be like, oh yeah, that's my thing too. Or like, I don't give a shit, which actually is probably like most of the people. Oh, you're into that? Like whatever, right? And that could be even things like, oh, you're into harem, you're into shoujo, you're into GLBL stuff. Like that's, if that's your poison, that's your thing, that's your thing.
We're not even talking about the shoutos and lollies. That's a whole other thing, too.
Exactly. So then comes the things that you watch. So, okay, you watch Higehiro, right? That is an age gap romance slash whatever, okay? Fine. Is that big of a deal? Not really. Is it a good one of those? Not really, but okay. Then you can judge people based on what they're currently watching, right?
Yeah.
Then comes when you have completed all the good stuff within that niche. Then what do you have left?
What, like Domekano?
The degenerate of the degenerates.
The biggest dumpster fire of my manga and anime history whatsoever.
Like, Incest Focess, I think Domekano is primo material, right?
It's so good, but like...
But everyone...
It's always hard for me to like say it with a straight face when like, you know, as someone asks me, oh, what's a good anime manga that you've read or watched? And I'm like, Domekano is fucking...
Because
personally, I think it's amazing. But it's like the general layman, they'll be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But, Will, if someone were to rock up to you and you'd be like, oh, so, yo, Will, just, you know, like pretend we're meeting for the first time. Oh, you have a podcast? Oh, like, oh, it's about anime manga? I watch a lot of anime manga. And you go, what are you watching or reading nowadays? Or like, you know, like top five, right? And I say Domekano, wouldn't you think immediately my street cred or your impression of me?
You are indeed a man of culture.
Exactly, right? So it's like a badge of honor, right? But let's say then we compare notes in terms of Domecano, okay? So that's obviously the primo one, and there's no doubt in my mind.
As opposed to, say, for example, you were to say, like, oh, I am also an anime connoisseur. Oh, what have you been reading recently? Oh, I've been watching Peter Grill. And I'll be like, oh, sorry, there's no more space in this fan club.
yeah, bro, like, holy shit. But let's say the reason why I said Peter Grill is because I consumed everything else.
What if someone came up to you and said, I too like anime and manga. I've been reading Redo of Healer recently, and I really love it.
Oh.
Immediately, you would just shut the door, lock it, throw the key away, and find the furthest corner.
I do not know. Actually, I don't think there is an anime cop hotline of any sort, right? And there's nothing wrong with liking Redo of Healer per se on the surface level, but you need to stay, like, you know, like 50 feet away from me at all times.
Yeah, like you need, like, definitely, like restraining order.
Yeah, like play. You can chill and talk about Redo of Healer and redo that shit all over again how many times as, like, you want.
You can exist. That anime / manga / light novel can exist.
Just
not in my vicinity.
Right. You know the saying of, I will not fight for what you believe in, but I will fight for your right to say it or believe it.
I guess that's probably where I start seeing your perspective in terms of, like, what it means to be cultured nowadays. Where, like, legitimately, there are people that will die on that hill of Redo of Healer, where, like, this is for them, like, the peak of culture, the peak of degeneracy, and they will stand by it.
Yeah, and right off the bat, though, with Redo of Healer in particular, that is, like, the unholy zone. That is, like, the forbidden zone. That is, like, within culture and degeneracy, like, the ninth circle of hell, like, the lowest, like, the most, like, corrupted one.
Yeah.
So immediately, if you want to jump the gun, jump all three levels, all eight levels, get a fast pass all the way to the ninth level, genuinely come up to me and be like, I like Redo of Healer, and convince me that you actually care rather than troll me, I will be like, bro, this streak cred is through the roof, but holy shit, I am not, we need to, like, I need to say my goodbyes, be like, oh, nice to meet you, let's hopefully sayonara instead of Gianna.
In our books, if you come up to us and say, like, Redo of Healer is actually pretty good, you really take the time to read it, I think it would just be like, you've just signed your death warrant, like, you've basically been booted from the Discord.
Yeah, like, do I think you are a terrible human being?
No.
But do I think you...
Do I want to have this conversation? No.
No, right. Exactly, right? So that is the only instance in where your badge of honor or your
culture goes
cred,
too far.
Exactly, where there is no culture. It is just a cult.
But again,
it's just a cult.
But again,
okay?
Who are we to say, right? You know, like, what's to say that, like, we're actually right or we're actually wrong in terms of persecuting fans of
Redo of Healer. We are not right or wrong, except when it comes to what we believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And as long as we don't incite violence or, like, do anything, like, horrendous like that, there is nothing to stop us believing and nothing to stop the opposing party who really would die on that hill either.
It's like, if you like Redo of Healer, you are a terrible person, but I will defend your right to being a terrible person.
Yeah, because guess what? When you dig deep enough, and you look into Will and I or whoever actually
let's not do that.
Oh. No. I think when you reach a certain level of, you know, dedication to anime and manga, and I'm only using anime and manga here because that's what we're talking about. Of course, you can really apply this to a lot of things. You get some deep cuts, right? Then you get some forbidden cuts. Then you get, some of the stuff where you're just like, guys, maybe that's why my last level of degeneracy is the things that are left remaining. Because when you finish your Domecano, you're going to look for domesticated girlfriend. How about that?
Yeah.
Then that's when you're like, he fell off the deep end. You know what I mean?
It gets to the point where you've got this, you know, this empty hole in you after reading Domecano, and you're like, anime / manga similar to domestic girlfriend. And then the results show up, and you're like, what the fuck have I got myself into? This is legitimately the tip of the iceberg.
No, Will, that's not the part that actually you should be worried about. What you should be worried about is, on a whim if you Google that and you find a top 10 list and you consumed all of it. That's yeah. when you realize. That's when I realize.
That's when you've ascended. That's when you've reached the next plane of existence.
That's when you become a demi-human.
This is at that point when you're no longer like standing on your TV. You're just floating now.
Yeah.
My guy, you are a god. You
know? Kami-sama, right? Like, so there is no two ways about Badge of Honor. And the fact that I think nowadays it is such an accepted... Okay, look, maybe I'm jumping the gun. I really do think, though, ecchi content is very much an accepted part of anime seasonals every season.
It's definitely like way different from before, but now it's like it's not expected, but it's like people are just cool with like hinting. I mean, the fact that if you walk around the streets of Akihabara and you go to like an anime store,
you go to the very top,
not even the very top, like I've seen it on like the ground floor itself where you have like tentacles and body pillows up along the ceilings.
No, but that's to entice you in.
Yeah, so but again
uses tentacles and drag
it's,
you
it's
in
it's
you
becoming
know?
A little bit more sort of accepted, a little more normal. Yeah, it's still very much, you know, like, you know, quote unquote culture, but it's also culture that, let's be real, we're not that shocked by anymore.
Oh, you have your favorite waifus? Yeah, okay, that's kind of culture.
Yeah.
But what if we go to top 10 moms, top 10 onesas? Then it's like the next level down. And then when it's like, well, what if it's like the top 10 concepts? Then you're just like, holy fuck. Like, what is going on? I really do think that everything nowadays has been spliced, categorized, and so granular in terms of like a niche that you can really hone in on that subset. But at the same time, you have to fulfill all these criterias in my mind to kind of be... In fact, I would say it's like a very minor form of gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not like, oh, I will not approve of you as a person, but I will be like, yo, then we can really talk about this stuff rather than, oh, I will judge you harshly. I'll just be like, oh, so you're just not into that thing? That's fine. But yeah. When I find someone that is into that same thing, I'll be like, bro, I have you on speed dial whenever we need to gush about this.
Like in general, you're just like, bro, you like lollies? Fuck off, man. Bro, like you're into like CisCon shit? Yo, leave me out of this. Oh, you like Shinobu from Monogatari? Yo, let me DM you real quick. Let's talk about this stuff. It's like like you said, once you found your safe space, once you found the people that you wanted like let into your safe space, that's when you're like, now we can be cultured.
So, Will, going off of that, what is your take on censored versus uncensored versions of anime? We're not talking about hentai,
that's
right?
That's the thing. Actually, like, I thought it might be good to take a quick break because we talked a lot about like how to get into it, the culture and the history behind
our take on it.
But I do want to spend the next half of this episode to actually go into the content itself, like talking about the current ecchi releases, especially when we're talking about like your World End Harem, your DxDs, and the two different versions of it. Also, there's that dog anime.
Inukai-san.
Inukai, yeah. So I think it would be good to take a quick break, also to also basically play out some of the new break music that we have for the season. And then we'll, you know, get back into talking about some cultured stuff, some D-gen stuff. How's that sound?
You know what? That sounds fucking phenomenal.
Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back. We've been released from horny jail since we've been talking so much about culture and degeneracy. And we're going to be doing it again. We're going to be talking more about culture, more about degenerate stuff. But this time, rather than talking about the genre, the tags, and the culture itself, we're going to actually be talking about some of the series that we've watched, maybe some that have released in the past couple of seasons that we just didn't really bother to check out, but I think are worth mentioning. Again, this is not so much recommending stuff to you. It's more just, look, There's a bunch of horn dog stuff that's out on the open for anime and manga. If you wish to watch it or read it, go ahead. We're not going to stop you from developing your taste in the culture of degeneracy. Still Will, still Jason. You ready to rock and roll with some ecchis, some degens, and some cultured stuff?
Will and I have talked to our ecchi lawyers, not lawyers that are ecchi, but you know that are dealing
lawyers that are that deal with the ecchi.
Yeah, so we got bailed out. Thank God. Thank you guys for your support. And then now we're out of horny jail. We're just now in the horny world.
Yes. And the world is incredibly horny, given the kind of stuff that's been coming out from anime and manga recently.
And let's start with talking about specific anime and manga. So, I think, Will,
the biggest rabbit hole, besides even just talking about culture and degeneracy in terms of like what is culture, what is degeneracy, is when you go onto my anime list and you just click the ecchi tag, there's like so much stuff on there that you legitimately do not know where to begin.
Now, Will, so how many shows, anime shows we're talking here, do you think have the ecchi tag that is currently at least acknowledged on my anime list? Because I actually have a number.
You have a number. I mean, I just have the list open, but it's on my phone, so it doesn't give me everything comprehensively. There must be like, what, like 3,000? Am I far off?
Very far off. You need to go way lower.
Way lower?
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised.
What? That's actually really surprising.
No, because I think ecchi, erotica, and hentai are like layers of degeneracy, you know, or layers of explicitness, right? But we're talking like the kiddie version. Not the kiddie version. Sorry. Don't. Oh, wow. I need to take a holy fuck. This is going to go into the finale awards in terms of blunder. I am talking the most superficial layer.
The safest option of the three.
Yeah.
I think it ranges literally from ecchi to erotica to just full on hentai.
Yeah. So how many do you think has the ecchi tag?
Oh, it's much lower than it must. Okay. Let's go with like 1,200. 1,200.
The number is 794.
Okay, I would have gotten 800 then after that. Wow, that's it? Less than 800 series have the ecchi tag?
Yeah, I can check to see
that's
what...
Interesting.
Okay, then let me... Let's go a step further, or two steps further. How many do you think has the...
The hentai tag?
And the erotica tag.
Oh, we're bundling them both together, right?
No.
How many have hentai?
How many have erotica?
So
under explicit genres as tags... You have ecchi, erotica, and hentai.
Right.
I think erotica is not fair. Let me just tell you that in terms of quantity.
Right. Okay. So if we just go
for you to guess, I mean,
just from hentai, then, 2,000.
1,483.
So there's double the amount of stuff that has the hentai tag versus the ecchi tag. Which,
erotica is 54.
Yeah, but erotica is like. I guess it's like that.
Like more tasteful? I don't know.
That art house feel, I suppose?
I don't know. But okay.
Sensual hentai, I guess?
Sure.
ASMR hentai? I don't know.
There is a ASMR.
Yes.
But we're strictly talking about, for argument's sake, the ecchi stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of anime. And
like, of course, you might be thinking like, oh, but like there's more layers to degeneracy and whatnot. But it's
absolutely.
Like, but if we talk about the culture... Like, let's be real. You can't really go more than two ways about the culture. I think when you talk about cultured anime and manga, this is what we're talking about.
And plus, the manga. TNA. Manga is just so vast, right? That it's kind of really difficult to parse out. And for argument's sake, guys, GAP has anime in it. Doesn't have manga in it, even though we focus on it quite a bit and we love it to death.
Yep.
But let's focus on the anime. So... let me start off this discussion by having the acknowledgement that ecchi content is never its only thing, right? It's always like an accompaniment, right? We talk about, for example, Shogugeki no Soma, Food Wars.
Ecchi and comedy and gourmet.
Yeah, ecchi as fuck, right? Yeah. But
there's also stuff like Kill la Kill, which is like action-adventure ecchi.
Right. And you get, like, shoujo that has ecchi in it, right? You get the harems that have ecchi in it, but it's never by itself.
Let's not forget about the most followed, the highest membership one, which is...
High School?
No Game, No Life. So I think it's got well over 2 million members on my anime list, and it's edgy as fuck too, because there's certain characters.
Yeah. I mean,
there's
certain Steph.
Yeah.
Man, my heart goes out to you, man.
There's some real, you know.
Wait, what's the angel called? J, starts with J, like J.
I don't remember. I mean, I could pull it up.
Yeah, sure. The angel that is like in charge of the library, I think. I really like No Game No Life. We need to watch
Jibril.
We need to watch Zero. Fuck,
I haven't watched it yet. No, yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Yep.
It's exclusive. Netflix exclusive, last I remember.
So is Perfect Blue and Paprika.
Yeah, but I don't have it for my cleanup. But I will probably watch it. We'll have to watch it eventually, right? So ecchi is always an accompaniment, a complement to a show, rather than it being a focus. Because by its category, it's kind of hard to have its own thing. It has to have some other, you know, aspect of it, right?
I mean, I'll just run through a couple of these, right? No Game, No Life, Kill la Kill, Food Wars, High School of the Dead, Mushoku Tensei, High School DxD, Prison School, one of my personal favorites. There's also Trinity 7. There is Shimonetta.
Oh, yeah. I like that one a lot.
Yeah. Monster Musume was here as well. Mm-hmm. What's this one? This one looks very, very familiar.
What's it called?
Rakutai Kishi no Calvary. Oh, Chivalry of the Field Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, that one has edgy content. Prison School is pretty good, right?
Eremanga Sensei. Yeah, that one counts as well.
The most infamous one, I think, of all of the more popular ones, I think.
Yeah. Seikano, How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend, also has the ecchi tag on it, too.
Not surprised there. Yep. And ecchi, I think, has broad strokes in that it could be very...
Also, is this a zombie? Yeah, Kore wa Zombie desu ka? That one's also got the ecchi tag. Tularuru, Kiss Sis.
Kiss Sis, holy shit.
And let's be real, like the Monogatari series.
Well, no shit. Yeah, of course, guys. So among the works that Will mentioned offhand has a wide mixture of my anime list scores in terms of rank as well as popularity. So it's not necessarily exclusive. Oh,
all the ones I mentioned are, all of them have over a million members.
Yeah, so it's not exclusive to like a certain tier or a certain like subset, I guess, of, oh, it's only like the trashy shows, the guilty pleasure shows. No, Mushoku Tensei, despite also having trashy elements, is probably like one of the most hype shows right now for the next season that's upcoming. I need to finish season one or season one part two to get ready for season two. Or, you know, Shugeki no Soma is the most Shonen Jump shit ever. It is Shonen Jump, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the cuisine aspect of it, the gourmet aspect of it. It does go off the rails later on, but it's a very awesome show. Then you get like the, I would guess, the more pure degeneracy, you know, things like High School DxD, High School of the Dead, Prison School, right?
Oh, so, but you know, High School DxD, that's based in fantasy. There's magic girls in there too, man. It's not just ecchi, right?
Mm-hmm,
High School DxD, there's, you know, zombies and guns and shit, right?
Yeah, then you get the ones that are kind of...
But let's be real, like, that... You don't care about that plot, right? That's not the plot you're looking for.
You care about the plot.
Whereas, like, when you look at stuff like Food Wars, when you look at stuff like Kill la Kill, even, like, No Game, No Life, yeah, the ecchi exists, but that's not necessarily, like, the only thing that, like, drives the popularity of those series. Okay, for sure. Like, the extreme, like, erotic reactions from the participants and the cooks in Food Wars, for sure. But it's, like, more often than not used for comedic purposes as opposed to, like, yo, this is something that you really gotta, you know, bust a nut to, you know?
I can't believe you just straight up said it.
Yeah.
So, for me personally, something that I would, and this is again just my own definition, not even Will's definition, but my own definition of what an ecchi show encompasses, is if when you remove the quote unquote ecchi horny element, is the show still like applicable? So, for example, using Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, let's say you remove all of the etchiness, all of the horniness, it is still not only a cooking gourmet anime, but it's a good one at that, too.
Heck, right?
Exactly. I would say if you were to remove Prison School, the edgy element of prison school, it wouldn't really work. And it's not to say that Prison School is a shitty show or a shitty manga, because Will endorses it, and
But I think it's like the Food Wars would still work, but without like the horny reactions, like the parts where people, like, their clothes explode when they eat. Like, it does sort of like sanitize the comedy a bit.
Yeah, and a trademark in the element
same way
of
with
it
like for... Prison School. Like, yeah, like Prison School really lays into it way more than
lays
Food Wars.
Thick,
yeah, but
thick.
I think both of them, it's like the purpose of the ecchi is to like highlight, even like heighten the level of comedy.
Right.
Right. So
if No Game No Life did not have any ecchi element, it would still be a very good show.
Just maybe might not hit the again.
If Kill la Kill did not have the uniform part of it, and as in like the horny uniform part of it,
yeah,
it would still be very much Kill la Kill in the sense. As I said, and I think you're
I think the problem there though is like it's because the fact that the clothing, you know, the quote unquote clothing is so iconic in Kill la Kill.
It's
that
a central
unfortunately
theme.
That like that's kind of what you think of when you look at Kill la Kill. Which, to be fair, outside of all that, the animation sequences, the actual plot of the story, I really like. Right? It's just, let's be real. When you watch Kill la Kill, certain scenes come to mind more than others, and I think, you know, both you and I know which ones come up to mind first.
Best transformation scene fucking ever.
Yeah, you know, Sailor Moon, move aside.
Review Starlight, move aside. Yeah. You know, Sinful Gear, move aside.
But like in those instances where like they heighten the experience of the show, I'm okay with it. But when it comes to certain series, like for example, World's End Harem, where the purpose of it, like, I hate to be that guy, because clearly there is a plot, in the same way that High School DxD also has a plot, and you put them both side by side and you remove the ecchi, like horny nature of it, then they're both kind of just shit shows. But I kind of give more of a,
like, credence and credibility.
Yeah, I give more leeway to High School DxD in a sense, because I think that, I don't know. It seems to really play into it a lot more. It's a lot more self-aware, in my opinion.
And I think that is one of like the two things that I really care about in terms of what makes a good ecchi show and what makes a really bad ecchi show. The first thing is, as you said, the fact that if the creators or the mangaka or the animators are like in on the joke, like they're either like meta commentary or they are just self-aware. You know, for example, Will and I will talk all the time about the censorship of High School DxD and leaning into that, because you have to censor it to a certain point, but using that as like almost like in certain cases you want to watch the censored version because it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I actually prefer watching the censored version because it's like I'm not watching it to, you know, for that particular purpose.
Yeah,
watching it to be aroused. I actually want to watch it because, well, they're very aware that the censorship has to be there, so they're going to be as, like, you know, as shit-taking, as memey about it as possible.
And let's have fun with it, right? And I think that when you have that level of comfortableness, I guess, I don't think that, like, of comfort, right, in terms of, like we're just, like, good in our own skin, like, we totally know what we are, there is that level of just, like, respect, you know, like, street cred respect that you're just like, all right, you're in on the joke too. Like, oh, this is like a safe space. Like, all right, cool. Let's just do stupid shit. Let's just watch stupid shit unfold. However, with World's End Harem comes into the censorship. It is just such in your face, terrible. And it is just not leaning into it. It's just straight up telling you, yo, this stuff is just not kosher on broadcast TV. And it's just done in such a way that it's kind of lazy. And you're just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I think with like the DxD example, they knew that they needed to be censored in some way. So they already had that in mind. They knew when to throw in the steam. They know when to throw in the actual, like, the title cards to use as their censorship. Whereas, like you mentioned with World's End Harem, they felt that the first draft was the final product, and they were ready to roll that shit out.
And then they had to walk it back, right? I think, like, to explain it in another way, even though I think it's very clearly laid out, Austin Powers has a running gag, a set of live-action movies where they would say something and then it would cut to the, it would cut the end of that sentence. And then, for example, like, oh, you have great melons. And then it will go into like the beginning of the second scene where someone is selling actual melons.
Melons, get your melons here. Oh my God, that is a big cocksucker. It's like transition from one word to another. It's like all the innuendos after another, another, another.
Right. When it could easily, if that scene were to drag on for like another 2 seconds, it would have probably been like explicit. But because they're in on the joke, even though I think that joke is done to death and is very lame, I can at least be like, okay, that's kind of dumb. I kind of see where you're going. All right. Let's, okay. Sure.
Melons, get your melons. Oh my God, that is a massive wiener. Get your wieners over here.
Whereas if they were to just show the nipple or kind of like throw it in your face, be like, don't look at this. Don't look at this censorship nipple. I'll be like, okay, guys, like, you know what this is about. We know what this is about. Don't take us for fucking idiots. So that's the first thing. The censorship is to me like a very integral part of how you treat a good ecchi or bad ecchi, is how self-aware you are. The second thing is, I would argue that High School DxD has a decent enough story, or at least has more quote-unquote redeemable things as a product, whereas World's End Harem is just really like everything about it is so lazily done.
Yeah.
Or the whole
point of World's End Harem is, half of humanity died. They all happen to be men. You are alive. You are a man. We are all women. No more man to have sex with to procreate. You must have sex with us to procreate.
That's a very good premise for those types of shows, but...
That's it. That's your whole shtick. Everything else that you do with the series literally revolves around, this man has a penis, and there's a load of women with vaginas that don't have penises in them.
Yeah, no, I think that premise as like an ecchi harem show is okay. But what you do with that premise is becomes a huge problem. And that's why I don't like World's End Harem among many other similar shows.
Yeah, because it just basically revolves around one particular theme that, let's be real, there's a lot of issues with it. It's quite demeaning to, you know, certain genders in the world, and especially when like that's all you have, that's the overriding plot, that's what's supposed to drive the whole story from front to end. Yeah. Whereas at least with other series like DxD, there is some humor in it. Mm-hmm. There's a different plot to what the fuck's going on. It's not just sex.
Yeah. So yeah, you know? So maybe, you know, again, playing devil's advocate, Jason, you might say, hey, Jason, but these are all done by dudes, all right? Who gives a fuck, right?
And also, let's talk about Interspecies Reviewer, which is, in a way, kind of the same thing. You have people walking around and, you know, reviewing what it's like to have relations or intercourse with certain beast girls and whatnot.
But like, in that instance, you know? It's the red light district, right? So by definition, okay, maybe I am being super pedantic about it, but at least it's woven into the premise of the show such that it is easier for me to accept, and then they lean into that.
Like,
right?
There's actual layers as to why they have this set up as a premise. It's not just, oh, I want to have sex with something. It's more just, oh, wow, there are actually a whole range of different monster girls. What would it be like to have relations with them? Oh, comedy ensues. Whereas with World's End Harem, it's just, please have sex with me. Otherwise, the human race would die out.
It is, and with Interspecies Reviewer, the comedic elements of the ecchi / porn sex part, for some of them, is kind of funny and dumb. Like, there was a part about a fire spirit that I just like lost my mind at how like dumb and hilarious it was, and they are reviewing it, I guess. But okay, they're all done by dudes, right, Jason? Okay. Let's talk about probably one of the most critically acclaimed manga creators that are all women, Clamp. Okay? Then let's talk about Chobits. Okay?
Oh, God.
That is a classic, like, ecchi show about robots, about girls.
It's not ecchi, dude. There's nothing ecchi about it. It's wholesome. It's pure. Okay? It's a loving relationship between two different people from two different times, okay?
But I would argue that using that as an example, girls can be horny too. Girls as creators can be horny too.
Women went to bust nuts as well. It's not just the men.
Yeah. And women creators can really cater and make works that are very much etchy in nature and good.
Yeah, because you want to provide the opposite perspective as well, right? Like what it's not like for just men, but also what it's like for women too. So there really is no sort of like segregation or like lines of definition as to who etchy is for, who can make etchy and all that. Like,
And I'm sure
it's not gender specific.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are plenty of non dudes that would look at Interspecies Reviewer Monster Musume and get a kick out of it too, right? Like, there's nothing stopping anybody, really. One of the things that I really love about anime and manga is that it really very much is so a spectrum gray area of what you're into, what you're not into. It's just such a weird and awesome place. So I think, like, ecchi shows will. What, though, would be, like, let's say, yo, I need to watch, like, ecchi shows now. What would be, A, your criteria, and then just, get, like, throw some at me? Like, what would be kind of, like, the thing that you look for in an ecchi show that would appeal to you? I mean, if you want to look at, like, Cafe Terrace, for example, like, what about it appeals to you?
I think the thing that's different, though, because ecchis and then ecchis with harems in them, the harem itself is...
Okay.
A different consideration.
Okay.
Okay. You know what I mean? But it's like, what would compel somebody to watch or read Peter Grill or Redo of Healer?
Well, also, we can't talk about harms because of a later.
Yeah. So that's why it's like. Episode. But like, if it's like ecchi, it's like, okay, like, what's the premise of where does the ecchi fit in? Is it used like for comedic purposes? Is it used as like just to be edgy? Are you using it to be able to sort of heighten certain relationships between characters, like in harems, for example? Or is it just used as a motif to just, you know, say, oh, our anime has tits and ass in it?
Because GAP listeners, yeah. I hate to break it to you guys, but if you don't know by now, Will and I are adults over the age of 18.
So well over the age of 18.
Well over the age of 18. So if we really want to seek out more explicit shit, like hentai, if we want to, we can just do that. So to me, at least personally, I'm not speaking for you, ecchi is like this other weird, like, subcategory, subsect of, I don't necessarily want to watch, like, pornographic material, but I don't want to just not have some sort of level of horniness. And sometimes, Will, there is no nudity, and I'll be like, this is ecchi as fuck. I don't know if this is considered ecchi. I consider it ecchi. Miru Tights is the most, like, slightly disturbing, uncomfortable.
It's not nudity.
It's not nudity. Guy. It's not nudity.
It's the thick.
It's the thighs,
it's
bro.
It's the thick, dude. The thick, thick.
It's the tights.
That's two C's, three C's, however many C's.
It was so
C's
tight.
You
so tight. I think Miru Tights is the perfect embodiment of modern ecchi material.
It's fetishist as fuck.
Exactly. Because nowadays, it's all about categorizing oneself.
Because, like, when you're talking about, like, Monster Musume or talking about, like, Interspecies Reviewer, it's fetishist as well. But at least, like, those are more grounded in fiction and beyond reality. Whereas Miru Tights is very much like, yo, this is real as fuck. This is absolutely possible because of the fact that we're talking about human anatomy here. And therefore, like, if we want to talk about the fact you don't need nudity to propel how ecchi it is, that just shows how strong this fetish culture is.
Yeah, you know? And look, if you're into thighs and feet, like, all the more power to you, dog. Like, go.
I didn't know I was into thighs and feet until I watched Miru Tights. Like,
but like, when you okay, and then you'd be like, okay, but Miru Tights is like just like 8 minute episode of just straight up that kind of fetish. But, like, that's just, like, very, like, specialized, right? I'll be like, yeah, okay. What is the polar opposite of ecchi? You'll be like, wholesome slice of life. I'll be like, okay, sure. What is, you know, a very, quote-unquote, reputable animation studio nowadays? You know, up and coming. You'll be like, I don't know, maybe Cloverworks. And I'll be like, okay, mm-hmm, all right. Have you heard of a show called Akebi Sailor Uniform? Where... Is it really, like, horny? Absolutely not. But, man.
Is there any nudity?
None.
Legally, none.
No. I don't think there is, period.
But you know what they're insinuating.
And
they're You know what they're doing.
And the animation, oh, they don't scoff at the
There's
budget.
There's a reason why for Crunchyroll's 7th Awards, they were nominated for Best Animation in Anime. Like, you knew people threw it on there literally as a troll pick because it is the most cultured option you could go for.
Dude, you throw shade at me off air when I saw KBC UFO, I'm like, yeah, dog. Yeah,
I don't throw shade. I was just like, how the fuck did this get in here? And it's just more just like, okay, you know what? The fans have won. This is what y'all wanted. This is what y'all got.
We did it, guys. We prevailed. We've succeeded. We have penetrated the fortress.
Straight up penetrate, yeah.
No. Okay.
Careful.
Careful where you're going, son. This is like this is a danger zone. This is Top Gun danger zone material.
Yeah. Actually, now that we're even talking about like stuff that's been released recently, like now, right? Like there's stuff that's upcoming. So for example, like I mean, you've got the second season for, you know, Cafe Terrace and its goddesses. You've also got another series, Tales of Wedding Rings. That one's also coming up, too.
I read the manga.
Liar's coming out. Temple's coming out.
Tempuru, I think it's called.
Tempuru, yeah.
Something with my loneliness or whatever.
But then in the past two seasons, you've got stuff like Ayakashi Triangle, which sucked. The Hero is Dead. Legendary Hero's Dead, which also sucked. Inukai, which was interesting. I thought it was very interesting. Then you also have things like, you know, Harem Labyrinth in Another World.
Yeah, but that's harem, though. We said we won't really talk about
that. I'm talking about the ecchis in general, though.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is stuff that's come out. Even like things like Peter Grill came out, Futoku no Guild, Immoral Guild, Bastard, Renai Flops, Vermeil and Gold. That one was, it was a good start. It was a good start.
Look, I have a soft spot for Vermeil and Gold, all right? Or Onesangs, okay? All right? Wait, so also, like, I think the tying the knot with the Amagi sisters, the shrine one, the quintuplets assistant, he wrote this manga that will now turn into its own show soon. I think next year. It has to be next year, actually. Yeah, it's everywhere, dude. So really, like, there is no.
But of the ones I've mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Which ones have you watched, cared for, or even knew about? Right, like Renai Flops. You talked about.
I watched almost all of them. At least one episode. At the very least. I mean, but if you're asking me, what if it's not for the podcast, then a lot of it would be out the window and not like applicable to this conversation, right?
Yeah. Of the ones I mentioned there, I think that the ones I would want to recommend would be like Bastard or Vermeil and Gold.
Okay, I take that back. I did not watch Bastard yet.
But Bastard's good. Bastard is good.
Yeah. But that one is like, has like a
heavy metal vibe.
Yeah. No one else is gonna understand this other than like two of you.
Yeah, if you were born in like the 70s and 80s, then you would know what we're talking
like
about.
Like Mad Max type shit. Yeah, but it's like awesome. But anyways, so
Mad TV makes of Mad Max. That's literally what Bastard is.
Do you think Keijo is ecchi?
It is, right? God damn.
It better be.
That's actually a very interesting one because without the ecchi angle, would it work? Would Keijo work without the ecchi angle? Because it would just be any run-of-the-mill sports anime, but it has the ecchi that defines as something that's different amongst all the sports anime and manga.
So, let me be clear. Will, are you talking about removing the TNA wrestling part?
Yeah.
The tits and ass wrestling part.
Because then you have nothing, right?
Right.
I think that's why like Keijo works, because they use something that is so lewd and derogatory, but they make it like a point of just excitement. Like you watch it and you're like, I know they're just slamming tits and ass into each other, but this is some of the most technical buffoonery that's going on.
Yeah, and I think the fact that they are aware of that, right, the creators, and play it as straight and genuine, despite some of the quote-unquote finishing moves being huge spoofs and parodies and very comical in nature, we appreciate it, or a lot of people appreciate it, because it's self-aware, right?
I mean, there's even, like universities in Europe that have, like, fans that are so, like, into this that they actually started their own club.
No way. Really?
Yeah, there is.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there is.
I'm not surprised, but holy shit. I didn't know that.
I have to look it up.
But I think there is... Do you think, though, that... I think another one that has spanned multiple seasons... Oh, wait, well...
Queijo Portugal. It's a sports league of applicants. Okay, the issue here is that they're aged 16 or older.
No, okay, stop right there.
Yeah.
Stop right there. No, don't. Mm-mm.
No, it's nothing lewd. They're all wearing full uniforms.
I'm not even...
But I think, like, anything beyond...
Let's not venture down that path.
Well, again, are we...
It exists.
Are we talking about it from a sexual standpoint, or are we talking from a sports standpoint, right? If it's sports, then sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, the group is currently working out the kinks to make the sport actually playable. So don't expect anything completely, like, etchy and derogatory and whatnot. So I think, like, there are people, and most of them are women, actually. There are actually women who wanted to start this that actually want to do real-life keijo. But I think they quickly came to the senses and be like, you know what? There's actually a lot of logistical issues as to just doing keijo in its current form, so...
In its current form. Okay. Well...
But, like, I have no problem with keijo.
I have no problem. Yeah. We love keijo, the anime. I actually don't think the manga...
It's not doing very well, because, like, I think that...
It went through a lot of shit.
It's no longer licensed, or, like, it's just... The manga has just decided, like... There's been too much back and forth with different agencies, different companies that legitimately, like, stifled whatever he wanted to do. So, yeah, tough.
Do you think, Will, that beyond a certain point, let's say you watch anime, you read manga, and then now you're very much invested in this community, this sphere, right? This genre, right? This type of medium. Do you think at some point you'd just be like, yeah, let's just go down this ecchi route and see what's it about? Such that at a certain point, everyone becomes ecchi related, like ecchi, like familiar, I guess.
I think the thing is with the amount of anime that comes out per season, and again, I always just see, okay, what is going to be ecchi for this coming season? I think every season so far, there's been like 3, maybe 4 tags, anime series that have the tag. But that's specifically series that have, like, ecchi as part of its genre makeup, where they know that it makes up a large portion of what they perceive to be interesting for the upcoming anime or upcoming series. But there are a lot of series that we talk about that don't necessarily have, like, quote-unquote ecchi, but there are parts that's, like, they'll have, like, the nosebleed moments. They'll have the parts which is, like, a slight upskirt moment. They'll have stuff that is... You know, kind of leaning into the edgy without actually...
Or there's a misunderstanding thing. Yeah, but that doesn't... I don't count that,
though. No, I mean, but again, though, that's still sort of like bleeding into that specific genre. We don't necessarily need to have series that have the edgy tag on them. Because let's be real. The fact that there's only 700 series that have the ecchi tag, I think, is criminally low. I think there's a lot more stuff that should have it there. And that's when it's like you start really defining, like, what is ecchi, what it's not, right? It's the same way of, like, defining what slice of life is, when slice of life is no longer slice of life, when it has too much romance or too much drama or comedy or whatnot. I think that as a staple in any anime or manga, I mean, dude, like, Naruto has some of the biggest titties you've ever seen throughout the series, but you don't see the ecchi tag on them, right? The stuff you remember in terms of the cultured moments of Naruto, they very much exist.
I mean, Naruto has a transforming jutsu that is very well known when he, like, trains with that frog.
Yep.
Like, teacher, the sensei, yeah. The toad sensei. Yeah, I mean, I would not say any of that has an ecchi tag.
Tsunade, right? She has some tiggle bitties, right? Hinata, yeah.
No. The way that you said it was just like...
I'm not going to say the actual words, right? Fine, I'll say big old titties then. How about that?
Yeah, that's a lot. No, I just thought the way that you phrased it was kind of funny and hilarious.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes on in Naruto, but they don't have the tag. But do they need to have the tag to show that there's part of those moments of culture, moments of degeneracy? You know what I mean?
No, but I think when it is a core identity of the show or the manga, that's how I split the difference. Obviously, with ecchi versus hentai, it's pretty obvious to know what is considered ecchi or more ecchi-esque and something that's more hentai, right?
So what was your original question there? Are you saying that there's going to be more ecchi stuff coming out? Or like, what was the
intent? No, like, what would you consider ecchi? And like, what would be some of the shows that you would be like, oh, something that is like a core part of
show? That's basically what's been coming out now, right? Like Tales of the Wedding Rings, you got Megami Cafe Terrace, you got Peter Grill, Ayakashi Triangle.
Yeah, I would not recommend Peter Grill.
But I'm not recommending anything. You're asking about like what I would consider ecchi shows like that are coming out now, right? I think that in terms of like the landscape of what ecchi is, I think it's become a lot more watered down. It's not just down to, oh, you have series that are going to have the ecchi tag. I think generally you will have more and more series that broach into ecchi territory without needing to be tagged as an ecchi.
Yeah, I mean, okay, for sure. Yeah, that's 100%, right? Yeah. Because who is Mal to decide what is ecchi and what's not, right? I mean, I totally agree.
They also like don't know how to define what a fantasy is or what a slice of life is.
I mean, ask Crunchyroll about fantasy. They don't know jack shit.
It's like that. It's just like that, right? So I think going forward, you are going to see more series that, to be fair, like we're still talking about overall a genre like in terms of anime that is more catered to like teenagers and young adults. So of course there's going to be moments of those quote unquote misunderstandings, culture moments, upskirt slips and whatnot. They're bound to happen. I think it's just the culture that it comes from in that they've kind of been like mainstays within that particular subculture in Japanese animation and manga, you know, and things are slowly starting to change. I mean, I would expect that we're probably going to be starting to see a little less lolicon, Shotokan stuff because they actually changed their age of consent last week. In Japan, it's no longer 13 for age of consent. It is now 16.
I didn't know that shit.
Yeah. Japan has one of the lowest ages of consent.
That I do know.
Yeah.
But like,
they changed it just last week because there's been a lot more indecent exposure and indecent crimes that have been happening in Japan. Which is why, you know, the last couple of months, some of our episodes are kind of dry on news. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Because they have been happening and we don't want to talk about them.
No.
Because what else is there to really say? Okay. So, yeah. But,
yeah. So there's definitely been a lot more reforms in terms of, you know, how the Japanese government itself, not saying about society, I'm talking about the government and what they're trying to do in terms of molding, you know, the general perception within Japan, you know, the attitude towards sexuality, towards consent, towards what would be deemed as, you know, permissible and normal in society. That's, I mean, the fact that the age of consent for the longest, the age of consent was established back in 1907.
What, in Japan?
Yeah. For the age of 13 being the age of consent was set back in 1907 for well over 100 years. I mean, this is just my take, but why else do you think there's so much lolicon shit? So the fact that, like, in general, like, if it was up to the government in terms of, like, their attitude towards sexuality and whatnot, and it was that low to begin with, people from the outside might be like, well, what the fuck? What's going on here?
I mean, a lot of people have been saying, what the fuck was going on here about Japanese anime and manga, and I'm not even talking about lolicon. I'm just talking about, like,
anime in general, right?
Yes, and I think, actually, it has become so, in a sense, the ecchi tag, hentai tag, has become so either explicitly the line has been drawn or watered down with the ecchi that to me, it's kind of like a cycle of, oh, if you're just into anime and manga, you're somewhat of a degenerate or a cultured individual. I don't understand why, but I have noticed that kind of trend. I don't think like people say it in terms of like a degrading thing as much as it is just like, oh, you're one of the, like those people that's into that niche, despite that niche being huge, or despite me saying that and then me going home and then watching Mugen Train. You know, like
it is like just confusing to this day, where like whenever people still talk about, oh, you know, anime and manga and whatnot,
it's like some weeb shit, like, oh, like
2D. To be fair though, it's like 20 years ago you talked about anime and stuff, you'd probably be bullied. Now it's like, if you don't watch like Demon Slayer, or you don't like keep up with like One Piece, you get bullied.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you don't read Marvel, you don't know what Marvel comics is nowadays.
Yeah, aren't you up to date with the MCU, dude? Like, do you not care about jobless reincarnation? What the fuck's wrong with you? It's the tides are starting to change a little bit now, but I think the people that are still deriding anime and manga, no matter what, their voices are always going to be a bit louder. And because we are fans, we do want to protect that shit. So it's like, yeah, we naturally hear those voices louder than others.
And also, to be fair to a lot of naysayers, I think there is a good amount of those people that are more saying it as like a way to tease or somewhat sarcastic, rather than it being a genuine like, oh, you are beneath me or you're different or like go away type deal. Like, yeah, it's like, because if you really, as I said, dig deep enough, everyone has their fetish and niche and interests, and who are we to say?
It's very much up to you how publicly or how frequently you want to act out on it as well, right? Like, just because, you know, you like certain fetishes doesn't mean you're going to be gravitating towards that particular thing when you're looking for anime and manga. Or if you are, then maybe that's the number one thing you seek. And
yeah,
that's completely fine too.
I have nothing against you spending like five figures on a gacha game or spending like several hundred US dollars on a figurine.
To be fair, that's also the other thing too, when like there's so many anime and manga series that when they start making like the anime figures, yo, like, you know which ones sell the most.
Yeah,
it's the ones with the tiggle bitties.
Yeah, and like, I won't like fault you for it. I think you're kind of degenerate, but like, all right, like, sure.
More power to you.
And this is coming from someone that absolutely adores anime and manga, but even I have, like, my own weird jurisdiction line of, like, I will never cross that threshold. Or, like, I will cross it only under these, like, very, like, exceptional circumstances, right? So, it's not always about horn dog, but degen and cultured, you know, like the connoisseur, you know, like you have to talk like the Italian hands type thing.
Hey, Bugazzi.
Bugazzi, yeah.
Or it's like, you know, pinkies up when you're talking about specific degenerate stuff.
Like, how is it possible that
I found the censorship in DxD to be quite tasteful as you sip on your Kool-Aid.
It is so,
you know,
exquisite, Will. Like, my God.
It's not like that world end harem trash. That stuff belongs in the garbage. No, like if you want to talk about anime and manga in that particular fashion, so be it. Like, I don't think people have to be like, oh, you only watch shonen, you only watch like shoujo, you only care about the sports stuff. It's like, if you like the horny stuff, that's all part of the culture too. So like, if you want to look for that stuff, yo, my guy, my girl, go ahead, do whatever you want.
And here's like my kind of final thoughts on etchiness and degeneracy in culture is, etchiness is kind of hard to avoid within anime and manga, as in, let's say I don't like sports anime or sports manga. It is very easy for me to like just exclude that from like my repertoire, my catalog, right? But
I was just thinking as well, where it's like, oh, sports is not my thing. It's like, do you know what would make Haikyuu way better? If it had titties and butts. Like, no, right? Like, that's
no,
like,
no, 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 no.
You know, like,
no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that all the male athletes should have dicks out. That's what I'm saying.
Dicks out for Haikyuu. We're starting a new trend. Show your appreciation for Hinata by getting your dick out.
Hey, Will, I mean, if that doesn't get a rise out of you, I don't know what will. You know what I'm saying?
Is the movie coming out yet? When's the movie coming out for Haikyuu? Next year?
I actually have no idea. I think they announced it, but then they never announced like a date. I don't know.
Yeah. So we like. I do want to pose one last thing to you, though, right? And it's very, very clear that there are certain series that meld the ecchi quite well into their specific shows, plot lines, comedy, and whatnot. But, like, to the series that don't have anything other than just pure ecchi, like, do you think that those are also worth people checking out? Like, you just watch it. Or like, just to see like some lewd, some upskirt, or would you just say, hey, let's just watch hentai, my guy?
I think watching hentai, it's very different. Because especially the purpose of you watching hentai is very singular in focus. Let's just be real.
For the most part, yeah.
You don't watch hentai for the plot.
You also don't watch hentai in a group setting.
Who knows?
Most of the time.
We're not here
We're not here
to judge. But ecchi, though, is something
like you're not going to see a watch-along of, like, Bible Black, right? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, stay tuned for the GAP, right?
I have to get the box set again then. Oh, shit.
Because we pray to the 2D Kami-sama.
Okay. What were you going on with your thought in terms of, like, the purpose of watching an ecchi versus a hentai and whatnot? Like, obviously the experiences are different, the purposes are different, right? But
I never watch a show because it's ecchi, per se. I think, obviously, things like Miru Tights or Inukai, the dog one, the Inukai is a dog, I think that is very clear in that it is lewd, right?
And it's really not worth watching.
But I don't really expect to be turned off by the lewdness in Cafe Terrace, because that's sort of what the whole, like, that's a core part of it. Just like how I wouldn't go into High School DxD for, like, very masterful storytelling and character development. I would go into it with, like, this expectation of it being horny. And if it has good plot, as in like a good storyline with good character development with multiple seasons, then yeah, by all means. But it's hard to avoid lewdness, etchiness in anything. But hentai, pretty easy if that's not your thing.
Yeah.
So I think etchiness is, and the overall broad spectrum of being cultured or a degenerate is not necessarily that clear cut anymore. And also, it is not easy to exclude from any particular work, per se.
Yeah, you're watching something, and it's, like, edgy as fuck, horny as fuck, and you're enjoying it, like, just roll with it. I don't think people are necessarily going
That's a hard thing for some people to admit,
I get
right?
That. I get that, because for some people, it could be a little bit more personal. For some people, it could be a little more sensitive. And it's not necessarily, like, let's be real, the internet's not necessarily the safest place to talk about, you know, your kinks and your fetishes and your likes and whatnot, because just as there is a community for you, there's also people that will be kind of standoffish or resilient towards, like, what you like, and they stand up against you. There's going to be naysayers no matter where you go. But I think, like, as long as there's something you're watching and, like, you are fine with it, you know, within reason, let's be real, there's still some things in anime and manga that, like, I am very against.
I mean, yeah, you're going to get that with me as well. And just like every other person, there are things that you just don't want to accept or, like, you just don't appreciate or like.
Yeah.
In anything, really. But to say that you don't have those things, I think, is one thing that is, you're just lying to yourself.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up, right? I think because the more we go into it, the more we have to start talking about other genres,
or
right?
like other topics within the scope,
like,
of it.
Like, we haven't even, like, scratched the surface on harems, about, like,
yep,
hentai, erotica, and whatnot. So,
yeah. So, and our food is going to arrive in like 2 minutes. So that is the end of our episode. It's episode number 61. You can always reach us through our email, gapalette@gmail.com. That's GAPALETTE, all lowercase, all one word, using the handle @palettegood. That's capital P and capital G, all one word, or through our GAP Discord server using the invite link in the show description. We have a website. We encourage you to check it out, www.goodanimepalette.com, all lowercase, all one word. We have new music for season 6. Music credits for this episode. Our intro music is Never or Right Now by ELFL. Our break music is Not Gonna Wake Up, the instrumental version by Mind Me. And our outro music is Like the Ocean by The Big Letdown. You can support the music artists that we feature by listening to them on Spotify, Apple Music, or various music listening platforms. And our royalty-free music was provided by Epidemic Sound. If you're interested, we have a referral link in the show description, but terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, you know, now that we've talked about all the etchy stuff, I'm actually kind of compelled to finish off Cafe Terrace and
Holy shit, I was not... my mind went in so many different directions. It was like, I'm pretty compelled to... And then, thank God you said what you said.
What was I going to say? Compelled to finally get down to reading and watching Redo of Healer?
No, I was going to be like, I'll feel compelled to, like, take off my pants or something.
Jason... Just because I'm a degenerate doesn't mean I only do degenerate things.
I mean, there's only two of us.
Sometimes it's better just to think about them and not do them, Jason. Just so, as I think about taking my pants off doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
So what you're saying is I should do it to make you feel more comfortable, right?
I might be degenerate, but I'm still a decent human being. Never judge a book by its cover, Jason.
Okay. Damn, are you saying that?
Never judge a degen by their culture.
Holy shit, we need to end on that note. That's a fucking awesome line to end on.
And with that note, enjoy the anime and manga. We'll be back, you know, in about 2 weeks talking about the new stuff that's coming out for summer 2023. And hopefully I can finally beat Jason. Jesus Christ, 0.05 points away. I really need this dub. Any words before you crown yourself to be the winner of the seasonal bet again? Wow, winners don't need to say anything. I get that. Okay, fine. Bye.
Silence is golden, son.